God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth, and pour into our hearts the power of your grace so that we can find the courage to be faithful through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hear the word of God as it comes to us from Jeremiah 18. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Says the Lord. Just like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I've spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus saith the Lord, look, I am a potter, shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way, and amend your ways and your doings. Then God is shown with a new plan, taking a nation of slaves called Israel, creating a special relationship with them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's scripture lesson offers what is a favorite for many, just because folks that have seen potters do their work have that image burned into your brain, where you were fascinated to see a lump of muddy-looking clay turned into something beautiful and even costly once it had been glazed and fired. Throughout the Bible, there are stories of God that portray God as being active and creative and imaginative and working throughout. It's not just in Genesis where we see the creative work of God. In Jeremiah, God is pictured as a potter who's turning a vessel on a wheel and gently shaping it into its intended use and beauty. And if the clay resists, if it puts up a struggle, then it gets broken down again, and the potter begins once more to reshape it, remaking it until it conforms to the desired image and comes out as the potter had desired. So Jeremiah's image of God is this divine potter who is creatively working on us and on our community of faith, lifting up, perfecting our human potential, bringing out that familiar image that God created us to be. There's several other places we hear this image of God as a potter. In Job, two different places, we hear in chapter 10, verse 9, remember that you fashion me like clay, and you will turn me to dust again. And then in Job 33:6, he says, see, before God, I am as you are. I too was formed from a piece of clay. Isaiah 29:16 says, you turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? Shall the thing made say to its maker, he did not make me? Or the thing formed say to the one who formed it, he has no understanding? Or in Isaiah 45:9, he says, woe to you who strive with your maker, earthen vessels with the potter. Does the clay say to the one who fashioned it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles? And again in Isaiah 64:8, he says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and we all are works of your hand. In Romans 9:20-21, Paul says, but who indeed are you, a human being, to argue with God? Will what is molded say to the one who molds it, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the lump one object that's for a special use and another that is for an ordinary use? And then to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 2:27 says, to everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations to rule them with an iron rod, as when clay pots are shattered. We also find this image carried forth into the songs of the church. One that was written by Bill Gaither called Something Beautiful said, something beautiful, something good, all my confusion God understood. All I had to offer God was brokenness and strife, but God made something beautiful of my life. So God, the creator of all that is shown to be still creating, working as a potter, working with the clay, working against all its imperfections and resistance to bring out the image that God has in mind for it from the very start. The Bible tells us that God created us in God's own image. Male and female, God made us. And from the earliest stories of life with God in the Garden of Eden, God is inviting humanity, both man and woman, to share as co-creators with God. They participate in helping to name creation. God placed within each of us this creative gift to be part of co-creating in our lifetime with God. And God looks at all of creation and says at each step of the way, that is good. Even when humanity sinned and the divine image within us was marred by our desire to be God, God continued to provide for and to love humanity. Even when Adam and Eve were banished from the garden and sent out to travel and settle new lands, God promised to be with them and to protect them. Even after a flood laid waste to creation, God began again to create a people and a nation to be known as Israel, with a remnant of the humanity born out of Noah's family. I say all this to again stress the importance of understanding God's creative nature, and that God invites us to be co-creators with God. As we consider the time of Jeremiah the prophet, God was still working in the days of the judges and kings to make a nation out of Israel's inconsistencies. They would be stiff-necked and God would have to chastise them. There was a time of the exile and God promised to bring them back to their homeland to start again. Then if we fast forward from the Old Testament era into the New Testament era, God was still working in the time of Jesus and the disciples and in the days of Peter and Paul and the developing early church to construct this new Israel to replace the old one that had failed. Fast forward a little further in history, and we find God in the Middle Ages continuing to reform and reshape. When Christianity was being reformed and revitalized all over Europe and Great Britain, through cooperative work and leadership of reformers like Martin Luther and John Knox and John Calvin, God was still working, even through the Methodists, John and Charles Wesley, when that spirit of revivalism broke out in Britain and spread to the colonies of what would be America. God was still doing something new in our lifetime during the days of Vatican II, when the Roman Catholic Church underwent a radical makeover. Many of the changes which are still causing reverberations to this day. And God is still creating today in churches like our own, in the Presbyterian Church USA, where we are seeing God expanding our boundaries, expanding our outreach, and our co-creating works of love and justice and striving for greater compassion and human decency. Wherever the work for these qualities of life goes on, whether it's in churches or whether it's in the local courthouse or Congress or social services, God is always in the midst of that creative process that is calling us to be the better people God intended us to be. It is true there's still sickness in the world. There's still natural disasters like Hurricane Dorian that can roll through and just wreak havoc and leave just nothing but disaster in their wake. But thanks be to God, there is also still beauty and creativity in the world. There is still compassion and sacrifice and humility. And we see, if we watch the news in the recent days, the triumph of good and love, where people are dropping what they're doing here to go and volunteer their efforts to help where it is most needed in the aftermath of the storm. These are creative and caring acts, and they count for something meaningful. They're reforming and transforming acts like these that are happening all around us because Jeremiah is saying God is patient, like a potter, a creative potter. He's not just going to toss the clay out, but he continues to work with it. And I see that working not just in us as individuals, but also in our institutions, our churches, our communities, and even our government. Jeremiah understood this in his day. Later, Jesus understood it as well, because God decided to come among us as Christ, to be God in the flesh, Emmanuel, and to continue this redemptive and creative work of remolding and remaking life in the world. Once, when Jesus was with some Pharisees, he had healed a man on the Sabbath, and we talked a little about that last week, that he said, "My Father's working still, and I must be working with him." Another time, when there was a question about him healing a blind man, Jesus said, "We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day, because night will shortly come when no one can work." What a beautiful and creative act we see of Jesus continuing to bring in the new creation. God made the world, but it was not finished. In fact, it's often shown signs of getting out of hand and things needing to be started over. But then, through Jesus, Christ came into the world to be one of us, to be here among us, and to begin to work reform from the inside out. Jesus' message to us is that we're all sons and daughters of God and all invited to be co-creators with the Creator of the universe. Jesus saw that if people could be restored to their compassion and their sanity, that the rest of creation would readily follow suit. Later, when Jesus' followers would speak of not quenching or frustrating the Spirit, but they called people to join the movement with God of restoring everything to God. When we do that, when we give ourselves over to the power of God, the power that was working in the early church to cause people to give up things that had mattered in order to pursue the cause of Christ, when we do that, we ourselves are transformed by the work of the potter's hands. and a result of living out our faith in the world, churches begin to be transformed. And as we go out into the world, as the church in the world, then communities begin to be restored through the love of God, through the creative spirit of God working in you and in me. God is changing this world a little bit at a time, day by day. The result is that God the Potter renews our lives through this creative and transformative process in which we become part of that creative work with God. And we become part of seeing the world around us transformed into what Revelation called the New Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians speaks about this when he says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So friends, in closing, I want to invite you to close your eyes, and I know we're risking greatly that you'll fall asleep, but close your eyes, open your hearts, and ponder this question. How do we learn to give our hearts and lives over more fully to the reshaping of the potter's hands? Ponder that thought. And as you continue with your eyes closed and your hearts open, I'm going to invite you to listen carefully as the choir sings an intercessory prayer for us all. Amen and amen. You may open your eyes, and we're now going to transition to our congregational meeting to elect three members of the celebration congregation to represent the congregation on the elder nominating committee. These three, once duly elected, will serve alongside Gene Bredbeck and Ken Krenzer, who have been elected by the session to co-moderate this nominating committee. So let's begin with a prayer. O God, as in the days of old, we ask you to raise up among us willing servants to serve on the nominating committee, to work together to prayerfully consider and to discern leaders that you are calling and preparing to serve Celebration Presbyterian Church as elders who will lead and guide us as we seek to follow and serve Christ here in the Carolina Forest community, the New Harmony Presbytery, and throughout the world. Amen.